So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Well, I began a series a few weeks ago on detox. And we talked about detoxing your soul, and then we talked about going through toxic valleys. And last Sunday, I began exposing toxic relationships. Exposing toxic relationships. Now, there are times when a pastor preaches for inspiration, then there are times that a pastor preaches for information. And I hope that both of that is true today, but I'm trying to give you some information as I did last week. We dealt with three types of toxic people, three types of toxic relationships. The first one, toxic people are control freaks. Toxic people are control freaks. Number two, toxic people don't allow you to be yourself. If you can't be yourself around somebody, then that's probably toxic. Amen? And then toxic people are threatened by your growth and by your change. So we took our text, and I want to take it out of the same area today. Our original is Psalms 51:10, and the Bible says that created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And then we dealt with Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. And reading, the Bible says, "And now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, God has indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden, with a question mark. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And then verse 3 says, I'll read it from mine then. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, I don't know if you caught something, but in verse 3, Eve added something that God didn't say. Anytime man begins to get involved, if you're not careful, you'll add stuff that God didn't say. You know, that's like giving a hyper kid direction. You don't want to tell a hyper kid to go tell your uncle to come inside and eat. Because he'll go outside and tell her, Mama said, bring your stupid self here. No, Mama didn't say all that. And that's what this, God didn't say you shall not touch it. He just said you shall not eat of it. But she added in there, you shouldn't touch it. And then in verse 4, it says, in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4 says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. See, that's what happens when a man just stands there. Well, I just didn't want to fight, Pastor. No, there are things you better fight for. And fight about. Amen. You are the leader of your family. Lead them in the ways of righteousness. And you know, if somebody came in to harm your family, I don't know of a man who wouldn't stand up and fight to keep their spouse and their children safe. You better do the same thing when the devil walks into your house. So when the woman saw that it was good for her and she was pleasant to the eyes and she desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate and they gave of her husband which was with her. And he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now I want you to know that's something that I have instilled into my children. Every night before bed, we would pray that prayer. As I would pray over them, I would say, help them to make right decisions and make good company and I would make them repeat, good because bad company corrupts good character. You need to understand that. Father, help us to hear and understand what you're trying to say to us today in the name of Jesus. We declare your glory, your lordship, not only over our life, over our heart, over our soul, but over our soul ties in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. So we recognize that from time to time, your mind needs to be detoxed. And if your mind's okay, your neighbors need to be detoxed. Amen. And so we began talking about it, about quick review, and I already gave it to you that number one, that toxic people are control freaks. Toxic people don't allow you to be yourself. Toxic people are threatened by your growth and by your change. Number four is this: toxic people take, but rarely, if ever, give. Toxic people take, but rarely, if ever, give. Now, let's establish right now that every good relationship is a give and a take. All relationships, if they're healthy, there's going to be a give and a take relationships. If you're in a relationship, there are times when all I do is take. And then there are times that all I do is give. Anybody understanding me? There are times in your relationship that you are is a give and take. And it's depending on what's going on, whether I'm giving or whether I'm taking. You know, I've told many people, if I ever turn up dead, my wife did it. She watches all these forensic files. She gives me medicine and I take it. I don't even ask. She just gives it. Take this. And I go, okay. And I just take it. I don't even know what it is. It could be illegal for all I know. I don't know. I just take whatever she gives me. She could give me cyanide. Take this. Okay, I'm going to take it. You know. When I'm sick, I know that she's the chemist. That she is the drug dealer in our house. Legal drugs, that is, as far as I know anyway. But when you're in a toxic relationship, you'll find that you don't belong, or you'll be doing all the giving in the relationship, and they'll be doing all the taking. It's emotionally, physically, and even spiritually draining to be in a relationship with people who only take. It's draining for the people in your life to only take from you, even if you're a nurturer by nature. Because a nurturer by nature nurtures people, but yet it is a problem when all they do is take, and it's never reciprocal. It's never cyclical in a way that it comes around, that you give, but you also get. Can I get a good amen? Remember, our text said that Satan showed up in the Garden of Eden for one reason, and that was to take from Eve. To take influence, to take purpose, to take destiny. Just to give Eve a little bit of hope and then take it away from her. But not just Eve, but all of humanity. That's what you've got to recognize, is that the devil wants to take everything that you have. My favorite verse, John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Because the devil, all he wants to do is take from you. He doesn't want to give you anything unless it's pain, unless it's problems, unless it's tragedy. That's what the devil wants to give you. But Jesus wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you everlasting peace. He wants to give you a life and to have it more abundantly. He wants for you to be able to enjoy your life on this earth. You don't have to live through hell trying to get to heaven if you serve God the right way. Toxic people are controllers. Toxic people are takers, but it's time for you and I to take some control. It seems as if the serpent was giving conversation, giving companionship, giving counsel. See, that's the way controllers do. That's the way takers do. You feel like that they're getting something from them. However, in reality, the serpent was taking control by giving. Oh my God, somebody hear me. See, when toxic people give, they give with strings attached. When toxic people give, they always give trying to get you to give them some type of control once they give you to you. If you, listen, women do it. Men do it. Everybody on the planet does it if you're not careful. But you see, the deal is that toxic people give really as a setup for their future agenda, which is seriously taking control of your decisions, taking control of your life. They'll give you finances. They'll give you peace. They'll give you comfort. They'll give you a shoulder to cry on just so that they can hook you in. Now, well, Pastor, well, the way you're preaching, I shouldn't trust anybody, no, but you got to be mindful of toxic people, because sometimes you don't know people are toxic until the script is flipped and they're wanting something from you. See, I mentioned Sunday that love, respect, and commitment is circular, it's cyclical. But the truth is this, all of us have limited resources. You give and you get, but in a toxic relationship, you give, you give, you give, you give, you give, and you give, and you never get. And there are all kinds of takers, husbands, wives, children, parents, friends, bosses, co-workers, African Americans, white people, Asian people, Spanish people, Baptists, Methodists, Church of God in Christ, Church of God, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, you name it, they're everywhere. And you've got to make sure that you're not in a toxic relationship with people who are always taking, but make sure you're not the one who's toxic in the relationship. Boy, that's tough. Because you better check yourself. Because you know what? In my relationships, I ask myself the question from time to time, what do I bring to the table? What do I bring to the table? And I try to bring something to the table. If I can't do anything but compliment, remember the difference between compliment and flattery. Flattery is to puff them up. Compliment is to lift them up. Right? My point is that takers are everywhere. But let me give you some characteristics of toxic takers. Toxic takers act entitled to whatever they're taking from you. Oh, good Lord. They act like they're entitled. They act like you owe them something. Uh-huh. Whether it be your time, your money, your energy, your body, they feel entitled. Excuse me. We had a situation. It was a man in his 20s. He was here, and he walked up to me. It was just, and I already knew. And you know, he came up, and our church is very large, and so everybody don't have my cell phone number. Why? Because everybody don't need my cell phone. Because I have a life too. And so he came up and said, "Pastor, could I get your cell phone number?" I said, "I don't know. It's just the Holy Spirit." I said, "Why?" He said, "I just want to call you and talk sometime." I go, "No." "Pastor, you won't talk to me?" I said, "Not on my cell phone. You can call the office." And he left the church, got mad. Well, he ain't calling me at no 2 o'clock in the morning to talk. Come on, somebody. I heard one man say it like this. He said, "My wife makes her own money and spends it like she wants to. And I make my own money and spend it like she wants me to." Come on, somebody. Every man in this building say, "Hey, come on." They feel entitled. Now, to be in a relationship with someone who feels entitled is so intense. Because let's look at the word entitled. Entitled means believing oneself to be inherently deserving of privilege or special treatment. And listen to me, there are people in your life who are entitled. All right? But you decide who's entitled and who's not. You see, there's only one woman on this planet that has every key that I have. She's called my wife. All right? And there's only three women that walk into my office without knocking, that I don't get upset with. And that is my wife and my two children. Why? Because they're entitled. Matter of fact, I will normally answer their phone or respond to their call on my cell phone, even if I'm in a counseling session. Why, Pastor? Because they are entitled. They are deserving of privilege and special treatment. Why? Because if I fail to pastor my family, then I failed and I am disqualified from pastoring you. All right? So we got to understand. You see, they feel like they deserve whatever they desire from you. Their wish is your command. And if you don't comply, then you don't love them. And the first time my children or my wife tried that on me, we're having trouble. Because we're going to have a discussion. Because see, even your children can be toxic takers. Especially in this generation, because we want to give them what we didn't have. But what you don't recognize is most people don't appreciate what they didn't have. Good preaching, Pastor. You know, my youngest daughter's on the front row, and she's an intern as a teacher now, and I'm very proud of her. And she's in her last semester of teaching, and she's intern teacher at Lakeland High School right now, and she has to go in, and she called me one day and she said, "Oh, Daddy, I'm not feeling well. I'm sick." And I go, "Oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I'll be praying for you." She said, "Daddy," she said, "I had to work today when I was sick. Oh, my Lord. I didn't realize people had to do it like that. Oh, my God." She said, "This is real adulting, isn't it, Dad?" I go, "Yes, it is, baby, when you got to do things when you don't feel like doing them." Right? See, they believe that you and everyone in the world are there to make them happy. They heap guilt on you. When you reach your max and say you can't give anymore. My God, somebody hear me. They try to guilt you into giving what you don't have. See, they're like Jonah on the boat. Everybody else was trying to save the boat, but Jonah was asleep. And while everybody was throwing their stuff overboard, Jonah was asleep. Come on, somebody. You need to recognize that toxic takers don't care what you lose. They only care about what they get and what they lose. Because guilt is a big part of the arsenal of a toxic taker. They want you to feel guilty, and they will guilt you into doing things that you don't want to do. Toxic takers are rude, they're impatient, they're demanding. But when you don't give them what they want, they walk away making you feel like you're guilty of something. Toxic takers are all about themselves. A toxic taker doesn't regret taking from you, but they regret from not taking more from you. Oh, they got more to give. You know, I saw this on the news, that someone broke into a home and was shot. Now, I don't care where you stay, and I'm not going to get political. I don't care where you sit at on that agenda of guns or whatever. I do have guns in my home, and if you break in my house, I will shoot you as close or whatever as many times as I got bullets. You will die. All right, I just whatever. You coming into my house. Now, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's what the cousin said about the boy. The boy said, "He's poor. They shouldn't have shot him." And the other cousin said this. I'm not making this up. The other cousin said, "How's he going to get anything if he don't steal it?" Now, that's crazy talk, isn't it? For us folks but that's a toxic taker. And if you're not careful, you'll become a version of that toxic taker, whether it be on the job, and you'll have everybody think that you're entitled to whatever you take or whatever you want. Well, they're rich enough, the corporate, they won't miss it, whatever. No, you've got to do what is right, and if you will do what is right, God will help you. Can you say amen? Don't miss this. Toxic takers want everything. Toxic takers will take everything from you and then talk about your faith because you ain't got any more. Pastor, you're kidding. No, baby. No, I've dealt with them. You see, toxic takers want your peace. They want your money. They want your destiny. They want your future. They want your joy. They want everything. Because it makes them feel better if you're not enjoying anything. See, toxic people love other people to be as miserable as them. But somebody got to stop the merry-go-round. No, I'm not going to let you put me on that merry-go-round. Because that's not what God called me to live in. God called me to live in peace. God called me to live by his statutes. You see, identify the motive of a toxic taker. It is in total opposition of Paul's instructions of 1 Corinthians 16:14 that says, let all be done in love. Let all you do be done in love. That's the foundation of wholesome relationships. Why do I give to my children? Because I love them. Why do I give to my wife? Because I love them. And I'm scared of her. Why do we do it? Because we love. Why do we give people? We love. If you're giving for any other reason other than love, then you're giving for the wrong purpose. If you're giving out of guilt, no, you want to give out of love. Remember this fact. When you give to toxic takers, they don't feel compelled to say thank you. And they're not grateful. I remember we were going up on, I got to be careful in the next service, but we were going up the, why? Because I'm talking about my family. My oldest daughter and I was on the ski lift with my brother and his daughter, and we were going up the ski lift, and we had taken on this trip, and my daughter looked at me and she said, Dad, thank you so much for bringing us on this trip. I'm having so much fun. I go, oh, thanks, baby. And my older brother looks at his girl and says, don't you have something to say? She goes, no. And that's still their relationship today. Because listen, you got to understand that people are not thankful by nature. That's why it takes God to change our nature. See, when you realize that you got something that you didn't deserve, when you realize that God saved you and you didn't deserve saving, when you realize that God stayed with you when you wouldn't have stayed with yourself, when you begin to realize the goodness and the mercy of God, you begin to understand, thank you, God, for all that you have done and all that you do for me. I'm not going to be a toxic taker. I'm going to give. I can't do anything. There's nothing that you need from me, but there's something he wants. He wants my adoration. He wants my worship. He wants to be glorified. He wants that from me. He'll be all right if I never give it to him, because he's God all by himself, and he doesn't get bigger when I praise him. He's just God, but he is delighted when the children of his son begin to worship him and glorify him and tell him all that is good that you have done for our lives. When we begin to sing, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God says, yes, I am. Hallelujah. Number five is this. Toxic people expect you to always be there for them. But when you're struggling, they are absent and uncaring. Woo! Glory to God. Just let that sink in a moment. And let me say this right up front. You can be present and still absent. My God, somebody hear me. You can be present and still absent. See, toxic people can be there with you, but not be there for you. Oh, my God, that's some good preaching. I might have to sit down and listen. I'm going to say it again. Toxic people can be there with you, but not be there for you. How many understand that there's a huge difference? There, you can be in the room without being there. You can be there with somebody, but not be there for somebody. It's not enough to be there. We need to be people in our lives that will be there. Not just be there, but be there. That they ain't got to worry about, you know, whether you're going to be upset with them or not. You got to be there. It's not enough. I've had all that I can stand of fair weather friends. I've had all that I could stand, who are present for their convenient for them, and when they're getting something, they're there. But just as soon as you cut it off or you have no more to give, that they're gone. Family who don't come around except for when it's beneficial for them or they're getting something out of it. Co-workers who want you to assist them, but they never assist you. Come on. Toxic people who won't return text or phone calls and are only available when it suits them. My God. I told you we're going to get a little tight before we get loose. You find yourself wondering if they got your message. Did you do something to offend them? I'm not talking about you got busy, but you know what I'm talking about. You always texting them. They don't ever text you back. You don't even know if they dead or not. Now, I'm going to say this with the qualifier that all relationships, I want you to hear that, I don't think I have this, but all relationships require investment. All relationships require effort. Oh, me and my spouse, we just fell in love. It's so easy to talk. Yeah, stay with it. It's just so easy. Yeah, it's coming. Don't worry. I don't even understand what these couples talk about. We struggle to talk. We just talk all the time. Yeah, stay with it. I remember those days. How many remember those days? You hang up. No. You hang up. No, I need to go to bed. You hang up. No, I'm not hanging up first because you hang up. Fall asleep on the phone, anybody? I remember me and Sherry do that now. I remember that with Sherry. But all relationships require commitment and going the extra mile. But that doesn't happen with toxic takers. Because real, wholesome, solid relationships don't keep you guessing. You got friends, you don't ever know where you stand with them. You like they got multiple personalities, you don't know who they going to be today. Let me tell you something. Everybody, listen to me closely. I want every man on the planet to hear this. Everybody has moods. Men included. Just ain't as strong as women, but men included, and not as often as women, but men included. Every woman in the house say, yeah. And all the men are going, I ain't saying nothing because I got to go home with mine. Everybody gets moody. I'm not talking about that. But real relationships don't keep you guessing all the time. Whether y'all friends or whether you're not. Whether you're in love or whether you're not. Whether you have a job or you're not. I can't live like that. But that's what the devil wants to have you. He wants you to question your salvation, question the love of God for you, question everything that you do for God, everything that God does for you. He wants you to be in question. Am I saved? Am I not? Does God love me or does he not? What? No, you need to settle some things and quit letting the toxic taker, the devil, begin to wreak havoc in your home and in your life. Settle some things in your life. In solid relationships, you know where you stand. One of my best friends, I don't talk to him, but probably once a month or sometimes once every 2 or 3 months. But when we talk, it's like we just left off where we were. Boy, those are easy relationships, right? You know, it's like, well, what's wrong? Oh, Jesus, nothing's wrong. Well, you ain't called me in 2 hours. Yeah, it's called sleep. It's called I gotta work. Come on, somebody. Toxic people put you in a position when you constantly have to prove yourself to them. Well, if you loved me, you would have. They expect you to always be there for them, and they want you to drop everything, whatever it is you're doing, and come to their aid. They say things like, if you loved me, you would blank. If you love me, you would cancel the class. If you love me, you would drop that appointment. If you love me, you would inconvenience yourself. And let me tell you something. If you love someone, at times all of those will happen. But not every day. They refuse to put themselves in other people's shoes. They have no empathy. They have no sympathy for the things that matter or others that matter. It's hurtful to be in a relationship with someone who's always expects you to be there for them, but they're never there for you. It's called reciprocal. Proverbs 17:4 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. See, the Bible gives us a clear description of true, giving, nourishing relationship looks like. And this is so powerful in our lives if we'll just look at it, because it unfolds one of the greatest challenges in life, and that is that all-time relationships are often hard to come by. Now, just as a show of hands, who feels like you're a better friend to your friends than they are to you? And I probably, if we ask our friends, they'd raise their hand. Right? But here, let me tell you something. I am some years old now. I know I look young. I'm trying. I really am. But I realize that true lifelong relationships are hard to come by. And when you get them, you better celebrate them. Because people come into your life for a reason, sometimes a season, and sometimes a lifetime. I don't have any relationship with anybody I went to school with. Why? Because they just won't return my calls. No, I really don't want a relationship with any of them. Because I'm not the guy that they used to know. Right? I don't have anything in common with them but old stuff. I don't have any new things in common with them. Plus, we live 500 miles away. I had to get away for that much just for people to let me pastor. Some of y'all get that about lunchtime. An all-time friend is there no matter what happens. A toxic person is there when it's convenient for them. But God forbid if it's not convenient, but a friend is there at all times. How many times have you told a friend, oh, you didn't have to do that? You're right, they didn't. That's why they're a friend. I mean, I tell people all the time, if you can't inconvenience your friends, who else can you do? Right? When you have money, or when you're broke, when you're flying on a mountain, or you're sinking low in a valley, that's when a friend's there. Proverbs says, a friend is a companion. A companion is someone who is with you for the journey. You know that they will be there no matter what. Companions are with you. But I want you to see how this text even escalates. He said a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. This is powerful. Adversity means straits, distress, trouble, or vexing times. And that's when someone becomes something more. Trouble with birth, the trouble will birth real relationships. See, that's when you know who's with you. You know, I had a group of friends, and we were, this was back when I was in high school, so, you know, don't judge me. But I was back in high school, and we were in this big gang fight. And there was this one restroom on the back hall that this one gang used to hold control of. Well, once we got into this big gang fight, there was about 100 guys against 100 guys. It was pretty bad. And so we walked into that back bathroom to take over that bathroom. Well, that was stupid. Yeah, it was stupid, but we were high schoolers. Everything's stupid, you know. But we walked in there. We walked in there with chains. We walked in there with knives. It was pretty bad. It was a pretty bad school area. So we walked in there, and we said, we're here to take over. And I don't know who the leader was, but I was in it. All right, I was leading. But anyway, and there was five guys with me. And we walked in there, and there was about 6 or 7, 8 guys in there. And we walked in there, and we was talking smack. Dah, 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 dah. And I didn't hear no chatter. nobody was with me. So I was talking bad. And like I said, there was, I don't know, what did I say, six, eight? There was 26 guys in there. And when I realized wasn't nobody with me, I was like, right. I took off running. Those wasn't brothers. They wasn't there during the good times and the bad. Are you getting this? See, that's when somebody becomes more, when there's trouble and they don't run. When you're in a fight and they don't run. When you're low and they don't run. When you don't have any money, but they don't run. When you're crying your eyes out, but they don't run. They might not even say anything, but they're there. I don't even know what to say, but I'm here. I don't know how to say, but I'm here. I don't know what to do for you, but I just want you to know I'm here. That's a brother. That's a sister. That's somebody that you want to hang on to. Adversity makes those who love you more. Nothing will reveal your real relationships and separate you from your toxic fake ones, as will trouble. Man, I'm telling you, you get into trouble, you see people just kind of backing away. Every relationship, especially marriage, must survive adversity. See, man, I mean, me and my wife have been through some stuff. But here's the question I ask her when I feel like I'm all alone. I look at her and go, are we okay? Because if me and you okay, I can take on the world. I can lose everything as long as me and you okay. Well, but Pastor, I asked my spouse that and they said, no, we're not okay. Okay, then that's when you go, okay, I can't depend on you. God or me and you all right. Because as long as me and Jesus are all right, I can come back from anything. I can make it back from any hell. I can make it down from any mountain. I can make it back from any ledge. I can make it back as long as me and Jesus is all right. And I promise you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, but Jesus, even Jesus tells us that I'm not telling you to be un-Christ-like. But when you're in trouble and some of your friends go offline and off grid, they go off the grid like they don't even have a phone no more. I'm not telling you to be unchristlike or I'm not validating ugly behavior. But Jesus said, sometimes you have to stop casting your pearl before swine. Now, what does that mean? I got one for you. Stop jumping oceans for someone who wouldn't jump a mud hole for you. Some of us are wade through hell and high water for some folks who wouldn't jump over a puddle for us. You better know. How do you deal with an absent toxic friend? Oh, I'm glad you asked. First, you need to do this. First, readjust your expectations. So you won't be surprised when trouble comes and they're nowhere to be found. Readjust. Pastor, I'm just going to cut them off. Well, that might be. I'm going to deal with that next week. Next week, I'm going to deal three ways to deal with toxic relationships. But that might be one of it. You might have to cut it off. But listen, I'm just readjust. See, there are some people, you just got to know what they are and who they are. And you can't put much stock in them. You know, there was a lady. I hadn't seen her in years and years. But I knew. She'd walk through the back door, and I'd lean over to Sherry and go, somebody's in trouble. And sure enough, they'd walk up. See, and that's what toxic people does. God help me, Jesus. Toxic people, they don't have any respect for anybody else because their problem is the biggest problem on the planet. And even though you ain't seen them in church in 2.5 years, they just bogart everybody out of the way to tell you, my grandson's in prison. Well, that's where he ought to be. Why? Because he's a criminal. I don't have a lot of patience either. I'll pray for him, but now he started his prison ministry. But if you will adjust your expectation, then you won't be frustrated all the time when they let you down. Man, you listen, when I started pastoring, here's what my dad told me, John, and I thought when he said it, when he told me this, because I was just a young boy, and when he told me this, I looked at him and thought, you old bitter man. He said, son, you need to have the skin of an alligator and the heart of a lamb. And he said, expect the best out of people, but plan for the worst. I go, you bitter old man. About 4 years into pastoring, I go, yeah, he was really wise. He was really wise. That's right. Because, man, people, I'm telling you, man, you think you got it rough, try to be a pastor. Because folks come here, man, and all of a sudden your marriage gets better, your relationship gets better, you get a good job, and you praising Jesus for 2.5 weeks, and then we don't see you for 2.5 years. Because you got fixed. You took your little medicine, and y'all don't need Jesus or the church anymore. Whew. Got quiet right there, didn't it? Yes, it did. Secondly, seek out relationships that are mutually beneficial and are a blessing on both sides. And boy, that's hard. Because some people, all they're going to be is come to you and want, want, want. They're going to be the takers. Seek out relationships that are mutually beneficial. That way you won't have to be filled with worry and overcome disappointment. Listen, ladies, find a man, not a temper tantrum throwing boy. Find a man of God. Oh, well, he's coming to church now. Yeah, because he's seen your fine self. That's why I used to go to church too. I said, shoot, I got to go to church. I'm going to find me a good-looking woman, right? Listen, when my wife met me, I wasn't going to church. Well, but y'all got married, but I started going to church. It works out every once in a while, don't it, Paula? Yeah, it works out. But I can give you person after person that, men, they came to church until they got the good girl. And then once they got the good girl, they quit going to church. They quit about God. They lied about everything. And they're not who they were. Man, if you want somebody, talk to that person. You a church goer? Oh, yeah, I go to church all the time. Where do you go? And if they say, well, all over, say, You got to be planted somewhere. Where do you go? What's your pastor's name? And then call the pastor. Y'all think I'm playing. I just want to call and check in on so-and-so. I want to know if they go to church regular. What kind of man is he? Is he a tither? Because if he'll rob from God, I know he'll rob from me. So I just want to know, is he a tither? How's his family? Is family crazy? How about his auntie? How about old crazy Uncle Earl? How's Earl? Earl all right? Check on him. Man, I'm telling y'all right now, if I was single, I'd be doing blood tests. I'd be doing Ancestry.com. I'd be doing it all, checking your credit score, because y'all ain't going to ruin my life. I don't know how I got off on that, but I'm a little passionate about it. I can tell you that right now. Whew, thank you, Jesus. I do know how I got off on it. I'm going to have to go. Connect with people you can bless and who will bless you. Thirdly, be the person you wish others would be to you. Woo. I got one more. Come on, help me shut up. Number 6 is my last one. Toxic people expect a second, third, fourth, fifth chance, but refuse to give you a second chance. I'm talking about toxic relationships. Toxic people expect forgiveness but never offer it. They want their failure and their hurtful ways to be overlooked. But don't offer others any slack at all. Now, all of us are this way. If you drive in Citrus County, you are this way. People pull out in front of you. Jesus, God, what's wrong with them people? And then you pull out in front of somebody. Oh, I'm sorry. I wish, you know, they got the sign that's not godly, for when you do something stupid, they tell you you did something stupid. But there ought to be a sign that we could use that we know we did something stupid. I know I'm stupid. I just did a stupid thing. So you ain't got to send me the other finger. I got you this one. I know I did something stupid. I don't know. Let's make up one. Wouldn't that be good? I'd be using it all the time. Sorry. You know, because we got the one that we don't want to use, and then we got this one that goes, thank you, you know. Toxic people judge others harshly and make excuses for themselves. Attitudes that they call detestable in others are excusable in them. Man, I hope I'm helping somebody. Isn't it amazing to watch folks with baggage judge other people's baggage? Your baggage may be different than mine, but it's still baggage. Because baggage is baggage. They're so harsh on other. And toxic people are so easy on themselves. And they usually say things like, well, y'all don't know my story. Maybe everybody's got a story. Toxic people use words like, you always, you never, I always, I never. You always let me down. You always criticize me. You always overreact. You never trust me. You never loved me enough. You never buy anything for me. You are never there for me. I always do everything in the relationship. I always sacrifice. I always treat you good. I never have a bad attitude. I never lose my temper. I never do any wrong. Toxic people hold everybody accountable, but have no intention of being held accountable themselves. It's hard to be in a relationship like that. Somebody who refuses to be held accountable for their actions. I need to give you this other. I can't close without giving you this part. There are three levels to the meaning of the word accountability. Number one is accountability equals responsibility. If you want to be accountable, that means you got to be responsible. See, in other words, we're not going to act like it didn't happen. See, that's what toxic people just sweep it under the carpet. Let's don't act like it really happened. You must make people answer for consistent behavior. Toxic people treat silence as affirmation. If you don't say nothing, then you're all right. You're all right with it.
Well, I just don't want to fight anymore.
There has to be responsibility and answerability. Accountability equals liability. In dealing with toxic people, there must be liability. See, accountability and responsibility, accountability and answerability. See, toxic people need to know that they have to answer for their toxic behavior. And sometimes, I'm sorry, just don't cut it. You got to talk it through. They got to realize there's a price to pay. I'm already working on next week, which is going to take us to the next level of how to deal with toxic relationships. But today we're just exposing toxic. You know, as I preached, if you're like me, when I was writing it, there were different people that came to my mind. Was any of us? Maybe. Not Julian. But different people came to my mind. And I had to ask myself the question, Lord, am I toxic? Because, man, I don't want to go around trying to fix other people when it's me that needs to be fixed. Could we just stand to our feet for just a moment? And would you just ask the Lord right where you are? Lord, would you help me to see if I'm toxic? And then those relationships that are toxic in my life. See, that's part of that. That's part of the solution is realizing if I am and who is. But Pastor, I don't want to see it. Well, but what is it doing to you? Whether it be coworkers, whether it be family members, whether it be children. Listen, there are some children that, man, they just treat their parent like nothing, and their parent is on this roller coaster ride of guilt. It's time to get off, man. You've paid enough price. I mean, some folks got 40-year-olds still giving them a guilt trip. Get over it. Okay, I didn't hug you enough when you was 2. You're 42 now. Get over it. Oh, yeah, I potty trained you too early. Well, whatever. Go in your pants if it makes you feel better. I don't even care anymore. Lord, I'm not going to take responsibility for things that I'm not responsible for. My God, there's a freedom coming right now. At some point, my God, parent, listen to me. At some point in time, you've got to cut the umbilical cord. I don't know why I'm on this, but that's where I feel right now. You're not a bad parent because you don't have enough resources to raise your children 4 times. You already raised them. It's time for them to do something. You ain't got time. Just because your spouse or just because your brother, because your sister went to jail, that doesn't mean that you got to go to the poorhouse because they did. Quit being codependent. Quit making them make you codependent. You can't fulfill the call of God in your life because that toxic person takes everything that you have just to function. But Pastor, if I don't, who will? Well, sometimes you got to decide. You're too close, so you can't. Oh, my Lord. Well, Pastor, I'm toxic. How do I get over it? Well, it starts by giving it to Jesus. It starts by giving it to Jesus, man. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, let me invite you. It's real simple. A, that you admit you're in need of a Savior. B, you believe that He died on the cross for you. C, confess with your mouth. And according to Romans 10:9, you shall be saved. If that's you, lift up your hand, wave it at me. You can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. Father, in the name of Jesus, everybody pray this prayer. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I want to be the person that is wholesome, full of life, not toxic. And I need you to make me whole. And in your name, today I'm made whole by your blood. And I believe that I'll never be the same after this morning by your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Now everybody just lift up your hand. Lord, I want to be whole. I want to be wholesome. I want to be life-giving. I want everywhere I go for it to give life. But God, let me recognize those life suckers in my life that suck the life out of me. And Lord, if you've assigned them to me, then I'll have enough resources to minister. However, give me the determination. Give me the determination. Help me to determine if I've been assigned
or if I've been guilted, in the name of Jesus, God, let me know when it's time to cut the cord. Let me know when it's time that I've got to set them aside or when I need to pursue. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Glory to God. Let me give you this last line, I'm done. If you don't set boundaries, takers will never set boundaries. They'll take all you have. See, some people call me mean because I don't give everybody full access to me. And I don't think I'm all that, but I can't. Because if I give everybody full access at any time and jump when anybody even has a cold, then there's not going to be anything for my family, not going to be anything for me, and I'm going to be no good for you. But together we're going to do it. See, we got enough people that ministers. Hallelujah. There's enough congregation that ministers. When I'm down, you're up. When you're up, I'm down. You know, when you're down, I'm up. Whatever the case may be. We've got enough ministers. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm a minister. I might not be licensed by an organization or whatever, but I'm a minister. I'm a minister of the gospel. God's called me to minister to the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor Steve, come pray for us. And dismiss us.
Bow your heads with me. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the message that we've received today. And I pray, Lord, that we would take that home with us, that we would leave here with it today, apply it to our lives, Father. Lord, give us the grace for the people that you place in our lives that are need to be there. And Father, give us the strength to cut loose people that are in our lives that were placed there by the enemy and not by you. Father, I declare over each and every person here today that as they leave, that they will have the knowledge and that they would have everything that they need, Father, to do what you've called them to do, to take this message and apply it to their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.